In Between the Sheets, written by Ian McEwan and read by Simon Shepherd.
Pornography. O'Byrne walked through Soho Market to his brother's shop in Brewer Street. A handful of customers leafing through the magazines and Harold watching them through pebble-thick lenses from his raised platform in the corner. Harold was barely 5 foot and wore built-up shoes. Before becoming his employee, O'Byrne used to call him Little Runt. At Harold's elbow, a miniature radio rasped details of race meetings for the afternoon. "So," said Harold with thin contempt, "the prodigal brother." His magnified eyes fluttered at every consonant. He looked past O'Byrne's shoulder. "All the magazines are for sale, gentlemen." The readers stirred uneasily like troubled dreamers. One replaced a magazine and walked quickly from the shop.
"Where do you get to?"
Harold said in a quieter voice. He stepped from the dais, put on his coat and glared up at O'Byrne, waiting for an answer. "Little Runt." O'Byrne was 10 years younger than his brother, detested him and his success, but now, strangely, wanted his approbation. "I had an appointment, didn't I?" he said quietly. "I got the clap." Harold was pleased. He reached up and punched O'Byrne's shoulder playfully. "Serves you," he said, and cackled theatrically. Another customer edged out of the shop. From the doorway, Harold called, "I'll be back at 5. O'Byrne smiled as his brother left. He hooked his thumbs into his jeans and sauntered towards the tight knot of customers. "Can I help you, gentlemen? The magazines are all for sale." They scattered before him like frightened fowl, and suddenly he was alone in the shop. A plump woman of 50 or more stood in front of a plastic shower curtain, naked but for panties and gas mask. Her hands hung limply at her sides, and in one of them a cigarette smouldered. Wife of the month. Since gas masks and a thick rubber sheet on the bed, wrote J.N. of Andover, "we've never looked back." O'Byrne played with the radio for a while, then switched it off. Rhythmically, he turned the pages of the magazine and stopped to read the letters. An uncircumcised male virgin, without hygiene, 42 next May, dared not peel back his foreskin now for fear of what he might see. "I get these nightmares of worms." O'Byrne laughed and crossed his legs. He replaced the magazine, returned to the radio, switched it on and off rapidly, and caught the unintelligible middle of a word. He walked about the shop, straightening the magazines in the racks. He stood by the door and stared at the wet street intersected by the coloured strips of the plastic walkthrough. He whistled over and over a tune whose end immediately suggested its beginning. Then he returned to Harold's raised platform and made 2 telephone calls, both to the hospital. The first to Lucy. But Sister Drew was busy in the ward and could not come to the phone. O'Byrne left a message that he would not be able to see her that evening after all and would phone again tomorrow. He dialed the hospital switchboard and this time asked for trainee nurse Shepherd in the children's ward. "Hi," O'Byrne said when Pauline picked up the phone. "It's me." And he stretched and leaned against the wall. Pauline was a silent girl who once wept in a film about the effects of pesticides on butterflies, who wanted to redeem O'Byrne with her love. Now she laughed. "I've been phoning you all morning," she said. "Didn't your brother tell you?" "Listen," said O'Byrne, "I'll be at your place about 8, and replaced the receiver. Harold did not return till after 6, and O'Byrne was almost asleep, his head pillowed on his forearm. There were no customers. O'Byrne's only sale was American Bitch. "Those American mags," said Harold as he emptied the till of £15 and a handful of silver, "are good."